So good to see everyone tonight, although I know not everyone's here. But those of you who are here, we're very thankful for your presence. This evening, I want to consider with you a very familiar passage of Scripture, maybe one of the most familiar passages of Scripture, and that's the 23rd Psalm. Here we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There's many good studies of this psalm. The book has been written by a shepherd and kind of relates all of this to the shepherd and the sheep and those sorts of things. That's very interesting reading. Not going to get into all of those, I would say, more technical aspects. I'd like to just look at this from a practical perspective tonight. David, of course, had spent a good part of his life as a shepherd. He knew what it took to be a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. He knew what it meant to be a sheep, and how that sheep were dependent upon their shepherd. So he was well qualified to use this illustration. Jesus, of course, often used the illustration of a shepherd and his sheep, and a good shepherd, and how that he left his 99 to rescue one. So we see the care of the shepherd. All that plays into all of this. But tonight, as we consider these things, he begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." My shepherd is a good shepherd. I shall not be in want of anything, because my shepherd is going to take good care of me. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my sheep." Jesus will talk about that and how that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Here the emphasis is upon the Lord being the good shepherd and leading them in places where they will have plenty of food, safety, and security. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, the pastures are not always green. It's not always easy to find green pastures. The good shepherd knows where the water is. He knows where the green grass is. Sheep lie down where they are satisfied and secure. You know, if sheep are anxious, their bellies are not full. They're anxious about their surroundings and perhaps the dangers that might be around them, they won't lie down. They'll stay on their feet. He says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." They're safe and secure. There's no worry. They trust in their shepherd. Jesus nourishes us and comforts us with his word. We often refer to John chapter 8 and verses 31 through 32, where Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, "If you abide in my word, you are my true disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We hear his word, we abide in his word, we are his true disciples, learners of his truth, and practitioners of his truth. Knowing his truth, we are free. Matthew 11 and verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My shepherd makes me to lie down in green pastures." Jesus leads us to a place of rest, a place of security. And he's not just talking about hereafter, he's talking about the here and now. The confidence that we can have in him, the security, the peace that we can have. Because we know that we are in him and we know that he cares for us and is looking after us. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. We're told that sheep only drink where water is still. If you lead sheep to a rushing stream, they'll shy back from that. They're not confident of their security in such a place. And so the good shepherd will find the places where the waters are still, where perhaps the water's deep, but it's still. And it's places where they can go with calmness and security. A shepherd sees all the dangers and will lead his flock to the tranquility and the peace of still waters. And that's the picture that's being drawn for us here. The good shepherd leads me beside still water. He'll lead me to places where there's calm and serenity as I follow him. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The good shepherd leads his flock. Jesus is the way. His sheep hear his voice and follow him. And follow him all the way to the Father. There they find that they abide in truth and have the assurance of life. Abundant life here and everlasting life hereafter. In John 4 and verse 14, Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Not only does Jesus lead us to still waters for our benefit, but also for the benefit of those who might come with us. That his water of life that we have drunk of, that we have found life in, will well up in us as a spring of water to nourish those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that we might be able to share this water of life with them. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. David no doubt remembered when he would seek lost sheep and restore them to the fold. So also David recognizes that the Lord restores him to the fold. At times that he hadn't lived up for what the Lord expected of him, but the Lord didn't give up on him. He restored him. In the darkest hours of David's life, he knew that God had not forsaken him. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Just as you think of that good shepherd that left the 99 to rescue the one that was lost, Jesus here is saying, they're all lost. They're all lost. And I've come for all of them that are lost, that they might be restored into fellowship with God. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." We might drift away from God. We might hide from God. But God is willing to forgive us. God will not give up on us. He desires that we be restored to the fold. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not just for my sake, but primarily for his sake. Salvation is not about our salvation. Our salvation is about living to the glory and the honor of God. And we can safely follow Jesus by walking in the light of his word. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, it says, "Thy word, your word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." His word is the path of righteousness. Peter admonished Christians to follow in the steps of Jesus. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, "For this is to this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." You were called that you should follow his steps. He calls us to follow him to the side of the Father, to everlasting life in the presence of God in the heavenly host. The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, dangers lurk in valleys. You've seen enough westerns, I suppose, to know that, you know, if the army or the wagon train or the good guys, you know, are kind of out on the plain, and everything's kind of okay because you can see all around you. But when you're coming up to the mountains and the pass through the mountains, you got to go through the pass to get to the other side. It's a dangerous place. Bandits are there. Native people are there that don't want you there. Dangerous place going through the valley. There are summits and there are valleys in every life. We have our highs and our lows. We have our good times and our dangerous times, our uncertain times. But even in the midst of our uncertain times, we can be certain that God is with us. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, because the shepherd is with me." God is with me. It's wonderful to know that when life is most trying, God is there. Jesus is there to comfort us and to help us. The assurance of his promises that we find in his word indeed comfort us. David said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." He didn't say, "Though I run through the valley of the shadow of death." That might be a temptation, right? "No, this looks like a dangerous place. We better go fast through here." He didn't say, "Though I stand in the valley of the shadow of death." And I said, "Though I walk." There's a, I don't know if it's a pop song or a country song, but every once in a while you hear it come on the radio. Say, "When you're going through hell, keep on going." You might get out before the devil even knows you're there. You know, that's not a bad attitude. When times are tough, just keep pushing on. You will get through it. Through the valley. You're not in the valley. You might pass through the valley. The trail does come out on the other side. It is the shadow of death. It is like a shadow. Death is not permanent. You know, that when you're walking in the shadows, you're uneasy about it because you don't really know what might be around you. A little bit more careful, a little bit more hesitant. And even those of us who understand God's revelation about death and life after death and what happens when we die, and we're assured of our salvation and a home in heaven, we're assured of being at peace in Abraham's bosom as Lazarus was, there's still that uncertainty about it, that shadow about it. it causes us to pause and not really look forward to our time of death. But we need to realize that death is not permanent, that there might be pain associated with it, there will be distress associated with it, but that's not the end of it, that we do come out on the other side if the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd in life. He will be our companion in death. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, Jesus told the church at Smyrna, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Does that sound like the valley of the shadow of death? Does to me. Doesn't sound like something I want to go through. It wasn't something that I'm sure the brethren at Smyrna wanted to go through. It wasn't something that even God wanted them to go through, but he is telling them about it before so that they can prepare for it. You will have tribulation 10 days. For a complete period of time, but rather short period of time. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. Some of you are going to be cast into prison. When he said, be faithful until death, he's saying some of you are going to be put to death. But don't be concerned about that, because I will give you a crown of life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were the shepherd's implements to protect, and perhaps had been used by David when he killed the lion and the bear to protect his flock. They comforted the sheep. Now, it's not like the shepherd's walking along with his staff and his crook and so forth, and the sheep look at it and say, "Oh boy, yeah, he's got his staff. We're okay." Because I don't think any of the sheep really wanted that to be used on them, to separate them out, to correct them. And even when they were in danger and needed to be rescued with the staff, it wasn't a real pleasant thing, I'm sure, to be rescued with it. But they were thankful that the shepherd had it, if a sheep can be thankful. The staff had a hooked end, and it could be used to rescue sheep which had wandered over a cliff or fallen into a hole. Sheep do that sometimes. Sheep just kind of mosey along. And if they're not listening to the shepherd's voice and they're not paying attention to the rest of the flock and they're just kind of doing their own thing and moseying along and eating and nibbling along, they're just kind of following wherever the green is. Sometimes they go down over a path and all of a sudden they find they're on the side of a cliff and they can't figure out how to get back off of it. And, it's not really like the shepherd wants to go down there and bring them off of a narrow place like that. So he would often use his staff and that hook that you have in it. Have you ever seen one of those that shepherds really use? That hook in that is really rather narrow. But, the neck of a sheep isn't very big. But you could hook it right underneath their jaws and pull them up. You've got a 100-pound sheep on the end of that thing. It's not real pleasant for the shepherd or for the sheep, I'm sure. But they're both thankful that they have that implement, because it can be used to rescue. There's some safety and confidence in that. God will deliver his sheep out of the temptation and the snare of Satan. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, We are assured that no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. You haven't been tested with anything that absolutely no one else has ever been tested with. But God is faithful, God is trustworthy, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Whenever we find ourselves wandering off, following, taking our eyes off of that which is above and focused on that which is down here, and we find ourselves on the edge of a cliff, on a precipice, and about to go over, God reminds us of where He would have us to be. And He calls us back. And if we will listen to His word and listen to His call, we will be restored. The Lord is my shepherd. Interestingly here, when you come to verse 5, it kind of changes the direction of the... It stops talking about a shepherd and sheep. David reflects upon other times in his life that in human relationships with others, that not everybody liked him all of the time. There were various different times in his life that people didn't want him to be around. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." You know, your enemies, they just want bad for you. And David is saying, you know, when everybody was against me and wanted bad for me, you continued to bless me. You prepared a table before me of plenty. People could see that I had been blessed. Through His providential care, Jesus promised to provide all material blessings if we will prioritize His kingdom and righteousness. Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things," what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, "all these things will be added to you if you just prioritize righteousness and the kingdom of God. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Oil in Bible times was used to anoint the heads of those who were given a place of honor, whether it be the priest or the kings or other occasions where someone would be bestowed an honor upon. They would anoint their heads with oil. God honors us in the presence of our enemies. We are not go found begging. We find that we will let our light, let His light shine in us, even in times that people want to put our light out. Oil was also used for healing, still is today. What an honor to be anointed as children of God and to have the great physician on call 24 hours a day to heal us of our spiritual infirmity and weaknesses. In 1 John 3 and verse 1, we read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God." Stand in awe of this. Revelation 1 verses 5 through 6, we read, "To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever." The focus of the praise here is upon Christ and what He has accomplished, that we have been called into this relationship, that we have been washed from our sins, that he has made us kings and priests. But you can't help but think of the oil in that process of being made a king and a priest. The healing of our sins. The Lord is my shepherd. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. His goodness leads us to repentance, and his mercy pardons us from our sins. Romans 2 and verse 4 says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, and his long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Why does God bless us with good things? Why does he send the sun and the rain on the evil as well as on the good? Why did Jesus die for the evil as well as for the good? Well, we were all evil, weren't we? We had all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why does God tell us that he loves us and tells us that he wants to take care of us? Why does he invite us to follow him? Because the goodness of God leads us to repentance, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Titus 3 and verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness that we have done," not that we can say, "Look, this is what I did," "but according to his mercy, he saved us." Hopefully, we are laying up many trophies to the glory of God. But none of those acts of righteousness will save us. In the end, we will all be dependent upon his mercy to overlook that which we had not perfected. According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4 reflects, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." In John 14, in the first 6 verses, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Where was Jesus going? "I'm going to the Father. And you can come with me. You can live with me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. There is no other way to the Father except through me. The Lord is my shepherd. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you have the confidence of salvation that only He can provide? Do you have the security and the peace that only He can give us in the darkest of times in our life? The assurance that He will not leave you or forsake you. If you're a Christian, you have those promises. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, and you realize that and you want to be found in His fold, you want the Lord to be your shepherd, then we'd encourage you to turn from your sins tonight, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and walk with Him in newness of life. Follow Him and His Word from this day forward. If you're here as a child of God and you know you haven't followed the lead of the Good Shepherd, you need to return to the fold. We'd encourage you to let it be known, and let us pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation tonight in any way, please come as we stand and sing this song.